Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Titans, brought to you by Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse and Sealmaster. You can check out his great work at PaulKuharsky.com. PK, the NFL trade deadline coming up next week. Titans have already been relatively active this year. Brownlee to the Jets. And now Roger McCreary traded from the Titans to the L.A. Rams. And we've talked with you about McCreary, the position that he plays. And now it seems pretty obvious and very likely that they're going to have to find three cornerbacks this offseason and go out there and play next year. What did you make of the McCreary move? Not coming to a deal with the Titans. He gets traded, and now you're looking at corner. And I think everybody expects them to move on from Snead at the end of this year, and you're talking about probably a completely different corner room next year.
Yeah, a lot of change coming. You know, we've talked about maybe not creating more holes in the roster, but McCreary's projected to make, I think, 8 to 10. And clearly they don't think he's worth 8 to 10. The thing is, you know, somebody is on the market probably going to pay him that. So when you get to the free agent market, there's a lot of overpaying. Titans have a lot of money. They're probably going to overpay for somebody else's guy. Now, you know, it might be a guy that they like more. Hopefully it's a guy that they like more than Roger McCreary. And people, you know, revamp positions. It would be different if, you know, it was a singular position revamp, though. They're not going to have to do as dramatic a revamp of any other position, but, you know, maybe edge. Yeah, they'd have to re-sign their own guys. I think Draymond's a one-year, Ward's a one-year. You'd like to bump those guys down notches. But they've got a lot of roster work to do. And, you know, people fool themselves. They want to be draft-centered, but there's only so much they can do in the draft. And so they're going to be super, super active in free agency. Doesn't have to be all big tickets, you know, one or two big tickets. And then you're filling in with role players, and you're looking for guys like Sebastian Joseph Day. I keep using as the example because I think they've gotten good value out of him. They like him as a culture guy, and you have to find a bunch of guys like him.
So, yay or nay on this move?
I think yay. I mean, there was they didn't get great value, but it's 9 games of Roger McCreary. 9 games of Roger McCreary going to make a difference for you now? No. Is the you know, I think they probably could have gotten a later pick. There was a gap kind of in their draft, you know, and they moved up and closed that gap in their draft order. So it's not insignificant.
I don't care about like him the rest of the year. I said this earlier this week, but I guess my biggest problem here is the tandem of McCreary out and Jarvis Brownlee, who just made the game-winning play for the Jets, out. So that's two guys who, you know, obviously there's a difference. McCreary, you have to give him, you have to, you know, pay him now at this
point.
The
Brownlee thing's a bigger issue. Based on how he's played,
you know, we see what's going. And no surprise, I think, with Snead. I mean, I'm not surprised that this is last.
He's done.
But now, you know, you have so many other issues, and now you're completely wiping the slate clean on this position. Yeah. I mean, that's my problem with it. I think McCreary is a solid player, not a great player, but he's had some. I think he's been more good than bad here. I think he's a good guy in the locker room.
Yeah, he's been a good player.
Very nice statement. And, you know, thanking the Strzok family.
Could have used a little more spell checking.
Thank you to the Strzoks.
But still, like, that's classy. Like, he's a classy kid. Don't you want more guy? People didn't like, you know, Brownlee, attitude, whatever. But my McCreary, there's none of that, right? And so, I don't know. Look, I think the question that you may have more insight, you have some insight on this. If McCreary was out on this place, slash was like, "Oh, I'm going to free agency. I'm going to get them," then that's one thing. Like, if you didn't feel confident in your ability to sign him, then you can't really quibble with this. But if that's not the case, and you're just making this move as because you think it's the right move, I just don't like totally vacating that position group when you have so many others to worry about.
Yeah, I don't love it from that standpoint either. But I think the market. I think what the market price is going to be for him, they were not going to be willing to go there.
But like you said, now they're going to pay someone else who is going to get overpaid.
Well, I think they're going to pay their one that. They'll pay one corner that. They'll draft a high corner. And then a McCreary guy will be cheap. Or Marcus Harris. Or something like that. I think Marcus Harris has started to work more at nickel. I don't think he's worked enough at nickel, probably. So we'll see where they go here. It could be Womack. It could be Harris. It's going to be one of those two guys. And they're going to have a big audition period here. And hopefully one of the two of them emerges as a young McCreary-type nickel and could conceivably take that job. And maybe they're a little less corner desperate than we think going into next year. I'll say this about McCreary, who I liked also. They've got to stop, and I think Borgonzi will. Roger McCreary was a second-round draft pick, yep. And he was a nickel. They do this thing where they draft role players too high. Tajay Spears drafted too high. They draft Darrington Evans, was a change-up back, drafted in the third round. If you're a change-up back, if you're a nickel corner, you need to be fourth, fifth, sixth round, not second, third round.
Yeah, except, well, unless you're as good as they thought those guys were.
In some cases,
it's just that they just weren't nearly as good.
Even
right?
McCreary, like, a McCreary talent, you should be able to McCreary's, find in the fourth you're
right.
round.
I think McCreary's an overdraft. You're right. Yeah. I mean, those backs, if they were like, if Darren Evans was what he was sold to be, fine. He just wasn't even close to that,
but
right?
See, I don't think so. If you're not a full, if you're first, second, third round, I need you to be a starter.
Well, even.
Right. But that's what they thought he was.
Well, I don't think
even
they thought Sweat. Evans was a starter. I think they thought Evans was a changeup. Sweat,
yeah.
A one-dimensional guy who you hope becomes a pass rusher,
right.
Is not a top three-round guy to me. There are a lot of question marks about him now. Brownlee, by the way, gets a lot of shout-outs for taking a shot at the Titans. I don't know if you guys heard this, but he lingered. He was the last guy out of the locker room. He asked what time it is. They told him, and he said, I could still get home to watch the Titans lose. This guy's been a part of one win this season. He wasn't on the Titans for Arizona. He was on the Jets for a win against the Bengals. He's won one game this year, and he's all fired up about going to watch the Titans lose. Like he got traded to some big winning team, and now he's puffing out his chest.
Here come the wins, baby.
I mean, this is a guy who was cold in 40 degrees in Washington. Like, I like that Brownlee's brash and all of that, but I don't think he should get, like, huge props for saying that. When he's been a part of how many losses this year, he gets to go home and watch his buddies lose. Cool, man.
Big dub. Big dub.
Watch you lose a lot too, man. So this time next week when we're talking, the NFL trade deadline will have come and gone. It's November the 4th. Next Tuesday is the deadline. Look, you look at the roster, and there ain't a whole lot that the Titans have left to trade at this point that's going to bring back any value whatsoever. So I guess from now until the end of the deadline, what do you have your eye on? What do you think could be in the pipeline for the Titans?
I'm going to go with Arden Key. If Arden Key can get healthy this week and play on Sunday, as opposed to what a lot of people think, like that Arden Key is being held out for his massive trade value, which is nonsense. I get a lot of this on Twitter. When the inactives came out on Sunday, I go, preserving him to be traded.
We got to protect Arden.
No.
We got to keep Arden on.
Yeah.
This guy, he's bringing back a haul, everybody.
Draymond Jones is a better trade chip because Draymond Jones has been playing well, but I don't know that they could deal Draymond Jones right now because they have nobody. I mean, I do think one of my guys.
Denard Wilson's loving this.
Yeah, just take all my
guys. He's having a great time. He seems to be really enjoying this.
He was pretty good yesterday when he said, yeah, I'll admit, it's difficult when your three starting cornerbacks are gone.
I'll say it.
And what was
just like Jarvis in the cold, I'll be the one to say it.
And what was this quote?
I'll have the courage.
He was pretty complimentary on Jalen Armour Davis. And like I stopped taping his complimentary answer, where he said, he's working on his confidence. He's gradually getting better and everything. And then I stopped recording. And then he said, he's one of the horses that we've got, and we've got to keep riding.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm adding that in text.
I watched the video, and I'm like, he didn't say that in the video.
Yeah, he said it right after I stopped recording. So I added that in text to all of my video send-outs, which was quite a line, I thought, a very impressive line.
He is a player that I have to coach.
He's on the team, so I guess I have to play him.
Yeah, but I think Draymond Jones they probably keep. I think Key they would deal given a chance. But I don't think there's going to be a flurry of activity here because I don't think the Titans have a lot of guys that are super appealing. I mean, I'd deal Pollard if you could. I don't think you're going to have an opportunity. Who else?
Well,
I mean,
Ridley. Let's bring up Simmons.
I think Ridley's probably eliminated the chance for him to go somewhere by being hurt.
I know Simmons is hurt, so obviously we'll see what that looks like this week.
Yeah, I just think they've decided that they're keeping Simmons.
Okay. So
period.
I know that's publicly been what's been thrown out there. I guess my question would end up being, like, what if somebody calls with a first-round pick? Does that change if you're the Titans?
First and what?
First and what? And then, you know, a first sounds appealing and a first is appealing, but the kind of teams that are going to trade for him now are drafting in the high 20s,
yep.
Right? So, I mean, that's a good pick, but it's not as influential a pick as you'd like. And I think they think, look, we've got one good player. We're going down to the foundation here, but not to the sub-foundation.
I will say, when I saw that Ed Oliver tore his biceps this week, I was like, if you're Buffalo, you might want to call.
I do think that's what they're doing here. One of the guys in my All-22 said, you know, we thought they were taking it down to the studs, and they're really taking it down to the foundation. And I do think, you know, given their druthers, that's what they would do. But I think some of these guys aren't going to, you know, somebody wants Chig. I don't know that there's a big market for Chig or for Key.
No, I mean, it's going to be – I mean, you're going to get more.
You'd like to get a straight pick, though. I mean, increasing your pick by a round for these guys, I don't know that it's worth it.
There is one question that we've been asked a couple of times that might fire PK up that I want to get to coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharski is with us on the program talking all things Tennessee Titans. PK, we've been asked at a couple of different places about this, so let's get your thoughts on it. Ben for Vols on YouTube saying, can we address the absolute stupidity of Brinker/Borgonzi extending Titan assistant coaches after a 3-win season? And you have put together together a piece at paulkuharski.com explaining this and the offsets that could ease some of this. What have you put together after the initial report by Easton Freeze?
Look, they deserve to get bashed for a lot of things. This is not one. If they didn't extend the assistant, then when it came to light, you'd say, well, Amy doesn't behave like an NFL owner. She treats her people like garbage. Generally, coaches do not operate as lame ducks in the NFL, and you don't want them to, because if all of the position assistants were operating this year at the start with Callahan in year two of his 5-year deal, if all of his position assistants were in the last year of their original 2-year deals, they're all worried about their future and starting to look for their next jobs and stuff. This is at the beginning, before you know things are going badly. Everybody's thinking, what's my next job? What's my next job? Which is not generally,
I mean, they still should have been concerned.
Right. But it's not generally how you want your staff to feel.
The 2-year deal is what you're saying, standard operating procedure.
And then tacking a year on is standard operating procedure if that coach is still in place. And they're not going to swallow all of that money, because what happens is that coach who gets fired at the end of this season with the extended year on his thing goes and gets a job with another NFL team or another college team. And the deal is offset. So whatever he gets paid by his new team that has to pay him fair market value under NFL rules, well, whatever salary he gets from the team that hires him, if the Cardinals hire him, that money that the Cardinals are paying him, the Titans don't have to pay. Meanwhile, whoever the Titans hires some fired coaches from other places, and the Titans pay him and offset his salary that was due from wherever he was. So all the money gets moved around, and Amy Adams-Strunk isn't going to be out any great sum of money unless, you know, if one or two of those coaches don't get hired or decide, hey, I'm going to take the Titans' money for this year, then you're talking about a couple $100,000, you know, maybe $1 million between two of them. But it's not some great, huge loss of money or some big gaffe by the Titans. It's the way the business works generally. And if you want the Titans to be able to hire a reasonable staff for the next guy, they have to know that after 2 years, they'll get a plus one extension from them. If they didn't, those staff guys who have a choice between here and somewhere else are going to go, I'm not coming to the Titans. They don't give you an extension after 2 years.
So let me translate what you just told us. So Easton Freeze beat you on a story and you just got to crap all over it. Is that what we're doing here? Is that what we're doing here?
What I'm going to tell you is he got a good story on the front end and didn't look into the offset portion, which is a big portion of the complete story.
This again goes back to...
I say good job, Easton.
This again goes back to what I said at the time last year, which was... maybe just go ahead and fire the coach at the end of last year when you're moving on from the GM and avoid all this stuff. That'd be good. Get Which everything is, on the new timeline.
Completely relevant. Now,
listen, in all seriousness, it's like what you said makes sense. I would like to know, because you obviously, you know, like in the college, it's always like, why did you extend the coach? Well, because you're talking to recruits and you know people get like those, and college contracts are obviously very absurd, many of them. But I do wonder, are there owners around this league who still do the, nah, it's okay, you're on the last year of your deal as assistants, and that's just how it is.
I think it's pretty infrequent.
I would read a story. I'd love to, you know what I mean? Like, that would be interesting. Yeah. Like, I could see, like, the Bengals being example of a team that maybe.
The Bengals would be the first team that we would think of that wouldn't.
They wouldn't do it. And also, you guys are our scouts in the offseason.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing is, clean up the building.
So
Thanks.
The coordinators got 3 years when they started. So Wilson and Holtz didn't get extensions because they already had 3 years. And this is me presuming, considering that they got 3 years, I would think that Fossil got 3 years, and that it makes perfect sense that they would encourage the new coach to retain Fossil, who, you know, is in the first year of what I presume is a 3-year deal.
Let's do something we haven't gotten the chance to do very often so far this year. A positive development for the Tennessee Titans. Been impressed with DK since he switched over to receiver. Obviously, we've seen what he can do in the return game. You know, I'm not going to go crazy and say that, you know, Chim DK is going to be wide receiver one for the Titans moving forward, but he's been productive. He's looked explosive. What have you made from him in the first two games where he's had a primary role at wide receiver?
His average depth of target before the firing was ridiculous. It was like at the line of scrimmage. They kept throwing him these screens, which they couldn't break anything away from. This is the single best development under Mike McCoy, who's not had very many good developments. Cam has played better, but they're punting from across midfield constantly. DK getting the ball downfield with a chance to use his speed, which the Titans don't have much of anywhere, has been great. He's been better than Io Manor since the change. And I'd call it the single best development, you know, separate of the quarterback, the single best development for the team since the change. Hey, let's let our fast guy run fast before he gets the ball and with the chance to run fast after he gets the ball. What an amazing idea.
So I know you said earlier, and you're probably right, that, you know, Ridley being hurt is a problem when it comes to the trading deadline. I do wonder, just from the Titans' perspective, because we talked this year about, yeah, that's one move maybe you don't make just because, you know, like the whole point of this season is to try to help Cam Ward, right? Why would you take that guy away? I do. After watching the last game, I'm like, not that Ridley couldn't also help if you threw him into that mix, but I don't know, you might be okay.
No, I don't think you have to have Ridley here. The Ridley complications are, I think some people are just scared of Ridley overall because of his background. I think some people don't love Ridley because he does stuff sometimes that makes him, you know, he's very streaky. It took him a hell of a long time to develop a relationship with Levis. He then developed a good relationship with Cam during camp, but then it took him four games or whatever to get going. So you're saying, well, if I bring in that guy, how long is it going to take him to develop a relationship with my quarterback? I like the way he runs routes, and I like his speed. But I think they're also, and I'm not going to know him off the top of my head, but in a lot of these lists, there are some receivers that are maybe more attractive than Ridley available. And he's hurt, so there's a lot that goes into the mix. Plus, I think you'd want the Titans to pick up some of the salary, which they probably would if they could get, you know, something decent in return.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up with PK next. We will get into our quarterback conversation as it relates to Cam Ward and the situation that he's in with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We did. Can confirm, Kuharski did not stay up and watch all 18 innings of the baseball game the other night.
I actually saw zero innings of that game. I did watch some last night. I like the result better.
Yes. Go Blue Jays. See how it goes the rest of the way.
Go Jays.
We had this conversation earlier. At this point around the league, it's a trend that is hard to ignore. Doesn't mean it's indicative of the way things will go in the future in Cam Ward's specific case. But we are looking at, you know, Baker Mayfield drafted by a bad organization, ends up going elsewhere, winds his way through to Tampa Bay, and he's having an MVP type of year. Darnold drafted by a bad organization. You can throw Geno Smith in there too. And they wind their way into differing degrees of successful quarterback play in the aftermath of that. And now we just saw firsthand the latest example of that with Daniel Jones. Now, I don't think the New York Giants or the Cleveland Browns or the New York Jets, although they do have their moments where they kind of feel that way. But he ends up in Indianapolis. He's having a great year. And I know that Jonathan Taylor is the straw that stirs the drink up there for that offense. But, I mean, we went through the numbers. He's completing 71% of his passes. He's thrown for 2,000 yards, 8-5 an attempt, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's been really, really good. So, I guess in the backdrop of all that, I'm looking at Cam Ward, and we're 8 games in. Everything's still on the table for Cam Ward. He could be the Titans quarterback for the next 15 years. He could be out of the league. I have no idea how things are going to go with Cam Ward. But I do look at all this, and I look at the Titans situation. It's like, man, all these guys that have left their first stops were just, in most cases, in awful situations, and they've ended up elsewhere and are thriving. And I'm worried to death that the Titans, and I was worried about this before they drafted him, the Titans, the situation that they're in, the roster, now having changed the coach, he's going to be on his third play caller by the time they hire their new head coach. I'm just worried that that is a situation that is just dooming him from the start. How do you view that, and how do you factor in everything we've seen at the quarterback position, teams giving up on these quarterbacks quicker than ever before, and then them resurfacing elsewhere a couple years later and looking like good players?
I mean, it certainly is a new era where these bad teams who mismanage everything and mismanage quarterbacks are serving as the minor leagues for the better teams. And then the better teams get into these quarterbacks get into better team situation with some stability. You look at Daniel Jones. I mean, he's running a good system very well. He's not that much better of a quarterback. He's just being asked to do things that he can do, surrounded by better talent, and operating under a much better coach. So the Titans better find themselves a good coach who can do these things here instead of Cam Ward ending up doing these things somewhere else. And I certainly think he's got a chance to be a good quarterback, maybe not great, but a good quarterback in the league. Is it going to be here? Is it going to be somewhere else? I think, you know, I remain firm that I think Will Levis has a chance to be a starting quarterback in the league out of a similar situation. Now, he needs to reemerge healthy and probably go somewhere and sit and climb his way up and maybe get a chance somewhere because somebody gets hurt or something like that. I think the timing of the surgery and all of that set him back in terms of his visibility and potential to play and all of that. But I think it could happen for him too. He's not as good, he's not as skilled as Cam Ward, but the league needs quarterbacks. And, you know, and the smart teams – know, you know, a guy's skill set and how they could coach somebody up. It highlights more than ever the urgency for the Titans to nail this coaching hire. And I understand Titans fans not having much faith on their ability to do it based on the last two hires they've made, or two of the last three hires they've made in the big positions of power.
I had never thought of it that way. So basically the Titans, Browns, Jets, they're like the AAA in the NFL? Is that?
I mean.
It's looking increasing that way. Well, I mean, the Jets have produced two quality quarterback. Geno Smith's not playing great now. He's
for
in another,
others.
But he's in another minor league team now. Put the Raiders there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of these quarterback stories. I mean, some of them come from decent teams, right? But
who?
So who are the main ones who
Darnold,
are out there as second?
Darnold,
acts?
Geno.
Baker.
Geno.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Giants.
That's pretty bad.
All the Giants and the, yeah.
Now we're waiting on Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
So Zach Wilson's in
another
that
Jets.
Limbo yeah. period.
Another Jet. I mean,
Jets again, are really just slinging them out. Assembly line.
There are different levels of this, what we talked about earlier. Like, for example, Tannehill, right? Like, Tannehill, so-so organization.
He just went, it went south for him in an organization.
And look,
it's a fine organization at that stage.
There are also quarterbacks that I think get drafted high in bad organizations that end up going elsewhere and aren't really that good. I mean, Justin Fields. Justin Fields got drafted by a bad organization.
And
he went to the Steelers. Not very good. And he's with the Jets, and he's not very good.
Trubisky.
Except every once in a while, he's the greatest quarterback of all time for like one day.
Right.
Trubisky was a guy that people expected to follow this course. Pickett maybe had a chance.
A lot of them just aren't.
A backup scenario.
A lot of them just aren't good enough. I don't know that I don't even know that I agree with you on Levis. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think he has a chance is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him reemerge somewhere and get some starts somewhere. But, you know, but Cam, I'm with you. I mean, I think he has a chance to be a good quarterback. The coaching hire and the talent around him as ASAP. But, hey, don't worry, because now you have to – I mean, this is my thing. It's like, oh, but you also have to replace the entire corner group, and you also have to – an edge. And
find a pass rusher for the first time.
I mean, it's just – there's just – but I got – you know, I think you have to prioritize helping him, right?
Absolutely. I mean, receiver becomes more and more important. It's just such a dilemma because you need an edge desperately, and certainly a better defense helps him. But you look around at these young quarterbacks and how many teams have prioritized getting them a premier receiver. And he needs a premier receiver. And it also lets these guys slot. Look, in a lot of ways, the Femi pick was a number two edge at best, right? And Isle Manor and DK look encouraging, but they're not number one receivers. And it'd be wonderful if you got a guy better than Ridley to be that number one. Ridley's gone after this year. You get a premier guy and let these guys fall in line underneath him. You know, they've got some parts. They need people over top of these parts. Premier guys at corner, at edge, at receiver.
Well, and how quickly can they do it? I mean, the idea, we talked about this earlier, of them going from where they are right now with their roster to, like, competing for the playoffs or certainly being a threat in the AFC, I mean, it feels like they're miles
away from
that at the
moment. I need to look at this more closely, though, because people talk like it's a three-year project. I mean, it feels like a two-year project. But people turn – I mean, we look at these stats all the time of how many teams annually go from out of the playoffs to into the playoffs – and how there's a team almost every year that goes from worst to first. I'm not saying the Titans are going to have this golden touch. It's very hard to imagine it. But, like, Washington last year, you know, it was Adam Peters' first year. He's a guy. They had a really good draft. Jaden Daniels came in and played really well. And these bit part guys that we're talking about, these mid-tier free agents, these Sebastian Joseph Days, if you will, they hit home runs on a bunch of them.
Right.
That's the year the Titans needed.
It was a great it was a great quick fix. And the quarterback was fantastic.
And now he's hurt this year and things have taken a big step back.
Yep.
But, you know, why can't the Titans find that year? And the biggest answer to that is because we don't believe that they'll hire the right coach, because we don't have faith in ownership, which trickles down to everybody. People will throw Brinker in there, right? And because they're the Titans is the number one answer.
So, the example, you've written about it. We talked about it earlier this week, you know, the example of the 10 years ago thing. Because they were dog doo-doo.
Right.
They were buns, 5-27, 2 years, one off season. They're right there to win the division. But you need something like, so for this team, you need like, okay, so Lawan was, everybody's like, what the hell's up with Lawan? And all of a sudden he becomes, oh, he's a damn good player in 16. That's what you need like Latham to do next. Some of this is going to hinge on some of these guys that they are absolutely, they're going to have next year, like taking huge steps.
Yeah.
Skoronski did it this year, right? It looks Latham like, so, I mean, I think that's a, because the offensive line, you can talk about the number one receiver, I agree with you, but.
You need
offensive
like,
line and running back.
Yeah.
I'm going to pound the table on the
running
back.
They need a
running
back,
man.
But that's where they need to find like a fourth or fifth round running back that comes in and is just good. And it happens all over the league. Needs to happen here. And then something like Jackson Slater, who was a guy you draft for 2026 to replace Zeitler and be good. Just be good. Come in.
Is Cushenberry going to be all right?
Yeah. Cushenberry's not been. This is a position where I have some sympathy. Like, they went and signed clearly the best free agent center, and he's just not been good. Now, you can say, well, you know, coming off the Achilles, he hasn't gotten back to himself. But the Cushenberry we saw for the first 8 games last year when he was healthy in his first year over wasn't anything special.
Let's welcome in Trey to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Great, buddy.
Hey, I want to ask y'all, you know, from what they, you know, the Titans has been doing as far as the product that they've been putting on the field is purely pathetic. And, you know, everybody knows that. All the fans know that. All the beat writers know that. All the national pundits know that. But I want to ask y'all, realistically, if you look at this schedule, what game can we win, because we're desperate here for something to win a football game. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it.
Well, I mean, they play some of the other worst teams in the league.
Looking forward to the showdown with the Saints later.
So they've got a big Saints showdown on December 28th, second to last game of the season. They're at Cleveland on December 7th.
Which Myles Garrett may set an NFL sack record in that game.
Yeah, but he can sack the quarterback 10 times and they can lose. It's been shown to happen. He just sacked the quarterback 5 times and they lost handily.
Yep.
Not that the Titans are New England. I mean, those are the two big ones. You know, they've got 2 games with Jacksonville. Jacksonville's just coming off a bye. They've been up and down. Divisional games like that sometimes, you know, I wouldn't bet on it, but.
They ain't winning another game.
You've got them twice. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't win another game.
Is that a guarantee?
Yeah.
A lock.
It took a literal miracle for them to win the game they've already won.
His shoe-in of the week.
Yeah. They're not winning another game. 615-737.
Will Trey watch another game is what I want to know.
That's a good question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A little bit of life. I stress a little bit. A little bit of life in the running game on Sunday against Indianapolis. I think we need to see Tajay Spears start to take the bulk of the carries away from Tony Pollard at this point. Agree or disagree?
Agree. I'd be happy to see 60-40. I will be posting shortly at paulkuharski.com Drew Beatty's film analysis of Spears. And so it'll highlight just how much potential he's got going. I mean, he's not a lead back by any means, but he could be a lead back for this team, I mean, given their circumstances right now. Pollard's just got no juice.
None.
I mean, he runs his max runs are 11 yards, generally speaking.
And looks to me that's a big change from last year. Right? He was good.
Yeah,
he was pretty good last year.
And I think
that's how it goes with running back, man.
I don't think the run blocking is particularly terrible. I mean, Spears is doing better with it, and I just think, you know, he's doing that falling off a cliff thing.
Are you guys getting Harbaugh this week? Getting a little Harbaugh teleconference today? No, nothing from them?
What are we going to ask him that's going to be that exciting?
I'm just wondering.
Connor Stallions?
Yeah, exactly.
Is he on the call?
Those conference calls only happen in special circumstances when you request it, and none of us.
None of us. No one wants the Harvester.
Leave Jim alone this week.
You just save it for Vrabes, huh?
Vrabes was a special circumstance, yeah.
It was.
Harbaugh didn't coach here. I don't know if you know that.
I feel like it used to be more common that the opposing coach was kind of a weekly thing, wasn't it?
It used to be a weekly thing every week, yeah.
It was a weekly thing. Back when the Titans were an actual NFL team?
No.
People cared about the games?
No, back before, like, everything was on the internet everywhere. Yeah. There was a weekly conference call where you talk to the opponents.
Now we got all these.
And now you have to make a special.
Content aggregators.
And what about you complaining?
Now I don't quote the other team about anything anywhere.
Yeah.
People don't really care that much, I don't think. They can go read stuff from the opposing writers if they want to.
Or watch the video.
Yeah. I like nice interviews and conversations. I think that makes for like better coverage.
Mine with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill. I know you didn't want to draft Deshaun.
Who's this?
What?
Who's this? K-U-H-A-R.
It's Koo. Koo Harsky.
Koo, not Ka.
Yeah.
Big mistake people make.
Also, you bitched
I'm huge at Boston College, man. Yeah.
You bitched at Mike McCoy, too, about the post-game pressers, huh? But he's saying he's just taking orders.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, why organizationally would they want us to go ask players about the punt decision before the coach has spoken about it?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, but no. But, the Callahan thing was you were had three players left in the locker room, right? So at least you're not getting guys skating out before you can talk to them.
Just to have the coach go first. It works everywhere else in the league.
Promptly go first.
Yeah, you're always texting me like, where is he? What's going to put him on the clock? Let's go. Come on. I got to watch this press conference, steal all your material, and get back to bed.
Hey, would you put up some videos from the locker room, PK? Come on, the internet's begging for them.
Yeah.
When you write
that stuff, do you say told reporters? How do you couch it when you?
I don't. What do I write?
Things. I don't know. You're very anxious for the press conferences based on my texts.
Well, we have a radio show. We talk about it every day. So yeah, I like to listen to see what he said. I'm like, can we get going here? There's actually games I want to watch in the NFL right now. Good God,
Garski, go get him. Notes. You can't watch it a little later.
I like to watch it live. Yeah. Also,
we'll do it live.
I'm mad for you. I'm supporting you. I think it's ridiculous how long you made people wait.
I don't get it. I'm not a fan of Mike McCoy. It's not about that.
I hope you
tell us why.
A cliche machine. He's offered the tradition of a interim coach is that you loosen and soften, and he comes in and he tightens and restricts.
Tighten up.
It makes no sense. No sense.
Well, I hope that the decision to punt the ball like he did on Sunday automatically eliminates him from consideration for being the Titans head coach.
I think he might think about punting from, like, you know, what, the 35.
It's only a 7-yard difference.
You know, if we can get this real high, we can get it down to the 6.
I've lost confidence in Joey Sly and, 2.5 yards. If it was 2 yards, yeah, but 2.5. Seems a little long, but we're going to – Johnny, get on here. We're going to blast it.
In all seriousness, what about Cam? You know, Cam barking at him.
Good for
Cam. I say thumbs up.
Oh, no problem. Yeah.
You can't hear a lot of things on the – did you see that, Mike? No, you can't hear a lot of things down there. You don't see a lot of things. My quarterback shaming me. I couldn't.
My rookie quarterback screaming at me like, what is wrong with you, bro?
I couldn't see that. The visor kind of covers the ears a little bit. Couldn't quite make it out.
PK, thank you for being with us as always, sir.
Don't block the box and be sure to lock your locks.
Next man up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.